الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم إلى آخره الآية علماء الكرام Respected brothers and sisters at the madrasa. We are discussing Hazrat Khwaja Azizul Hasan Majzoob Rahmatullah Alayh's some nasihats in poetry form. We have discussed some of the aspects already and we want to proceed from there. But the essence of what we have discussed is that the enemies of Islam, they have made inroads, they have destroyed your culture, they have destroyed your deeds and actions, they have stolen from your deen, from your religion, from your way of life, they have left you completely bankrupt, they have tempted you into following their ways, into emulating them, into imitating them, and into accepting their cultural lifestyles. And they have made so much of inroad that now we do not even know what is haq and what is batil. We cannot even differentiate between truth and falsehood anymore. We make such statements of kufr that we are not even aware that we have made statements of kufr. There is a whole planning and a whole scheming behind all that is happening. And therefore he is giving that warning that how long are you going to remain asleep? He says, get up, too long have you slept. It is time to get up and get into action. I think when I returned from Bangladesh, I mentioned that how much of ignorance there is there. On the one hand, how much of ignorance amongst the Muslims. So much that in one village, when a janazah, when one alim went there, Markazul Islami sent one alim there and they established a small maktab and they started calling the people towards namaz and towards deen. So the first janaza in that village, so when the Imam Sahib went there to the house, so he saw that they are taking a saw and cutting his right hand out. So he got the shock of his life that what is this? That the person is dead and now they are taking his right hand out, they are sawing it, they are cutting it out. So his left hand, sorry, left hand. So he questioned that why is this happening? He says, no, on the day of Qiyamah, we have heard that the bad people will be given their book of deeds in the left hand and the good people in the right hand. So we rather cut his left hand out here so that he doesn't get it in the left hand there. We may laugh at it, but this is a true fact. So on the one hand, so much of ignorance. And on the other hand, the missionaries there, how hard they work, that in 46 degree heat, they are taking the scooter and they are going and calling the people towards Christianity. And further than that, the most intelligent, bright pupils that they find, and especially amongst the women, then they take them and they send them over to America, give them the best of scholarship and bursaries, and they are trained there, they are brainwashed, and then they are told that when you return to your country, don't ever make the mistake of saying that you are unhappy with Islam and you have given up Islam. We don't want you to say you are a Christian or you have exchanged your faith and religion. You must remain a Muslim. This is what they are told. In fact, they are brainwashed to such an extent that they don't even realize that by making all those statements, they've already lost their Islam and deen long ago. But they are told that you must still keep saying that I am a Muslim. I am a perfect Muslim. I love Islam. Islam is my way of life. But the Quran Sharif needs a little bit of reformation and change. Some are saying a little bit of reformation and change, and the Taslima said that the entire Quran Sharif requires reformation. Na'udhu billahi min zalik. But still, she is Taslima, and the best part is the word also Taslima. So instead of submitting herself, this is what she says, that the entire Quran Sharif, and of course she had to leave the country and run from there. But they are not one, there's not just one Taslima, there are so many that are being born there. So this is what he is saying, that look at the ignorance in the society. Look at the cultural way of life. Look at how much of harm and damage has already been done. But still we are asleep. So when are we going to get up? That was the essence of what we have already discussed. Now we proceed. ये माना दुश्मनों की सी तुम्हें आती नहीं गाते बढ़ो ना में खुदा लेकर ये छोड़ो यास की बातें ये माना दुश्मनों की सी तुम्हें आती नहीं गाते बढ़ो ना में खुदा लेकर ये छोड़ो यास की बातें ذرا ہمت کرو تو پھر وہی دن ہے وہی راتیں ذرا ہمت کرو تو پھر وہی دن ہے وہی راتیں مطیع حق بنو قدرت کی پھر دیکھو کراماتیں مسلمانوں اٹھو بحر عمل تیار ہو جاؤ نہیں یہ وقت غفلت کا بس اب بیدار ہو جاؤ. After discussing many other things which I have skipped, where he complains about our weakness, now he says that I believe and I accept that you don't know all the plotting and the scheming and all the dirty tricks and tactics that the enemies of Islam use. Because you are Muslims, you do not believe in such dirty tactics. You believe in straightforwardness, honesty, truthfulness, sincerity. So you say, I believe that you don't want to be like them, that employ and adopt all those dirty tricks. He says, move forward in the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and forget about despair. So no matter how far you have gone, no matter how much of weakness there may be in our society, no matter how much of weakness in our lives, no matter how far we have gone from deen and sharia, and how much of ignorance there may be in our lives, but he says, don't despair. There is no such thing as despair in Islam. There is no such thing as despairing of the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. All that is required, he says, take the name of Allah and move forward. And then see how Allah becomes yours. And taking the name of Allah and moving forward does not mean just on your lips, there must be Allah, Allah. What it means is accept Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's orders, His commands, His direction, His instruction. Implement it in your life and then see how things will change. If the individual is going to implement it in his life, the individual life will change. If a family implements it, the family will change. And if the whole society implements it, the whole society will change. And when a whole nation changes, then you will see what happens. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's system is that whosoever will bring it into his or her own life, that person will immediately get the benefit. Most of us are always looking at far and wide what is happening in the world. I always mention this, that shaitan employs this tactic. He makes us think of things happening far and wide. And there is no doubt that as a Muslim, if one person is hurt somewhere, then we feel the hurt and injury here. We are like one body and one soul. If the finger is injured, then the whole body feels the pain. So like that, any Muslim hurt anywhere, we feel the pain. But this must not become a screen for our sins, that we don't want to get out of our sins. We don't want to get out of our evils. We want to still remain with our evils and with our sinful lifestyles. but just as a smoke screen, then we use all the things that are happening everywhere and we say that it is so bad everywhere. It is so difficult. And in our society also, this weakness, that weakness, that weakness. Agreed, we accept there's a lot of weakness. We all have got our weakness. But individually, how much effort did we make to change? And how many people were restrained from changing their own lives? How many people put pressure upon us or threatened us with taking our lives if we are going to change and become better Muslims? So this is the whole purpose of these type of majlises, that let us look at our lives, that how much of change have we brought in our lives. Outside indeed there's a lot of problems, but in our own homes and in our own lives, how much of difference and change did we bring? And believe me, I can take qasam in the masjid and tell you that the whole world, there can be mischief, fitna, and there can be corruption, and there can be evil and darkness, and there can be all kinds of things that are creating problem for a Muslim to practice Islam. But the individual, the moment he makes a change in his life, he will straight away get the barakat of all those things in his life. Whether others get it or not, whether the home changes or not, whether the families change or not, but whichever individual will make up his mind and his niyat, and he says, "Oh Allah, I want to become yours, and I want you to become mine. I want to become your friend. I want to become your wali. Nafs and shaitan are my enemies. You assist me and help me in fighting these enemies of mine, and draw me towards you with your power of jazb." Because if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala decides to draw a person towards him, to pull a person towards him, then without much effort he pulls him. But that person must have some niyat of change. If we don't have a niyat of change, all the waaz and nasihats of the greatest buzrugs and the greatest walis will have no effect. The person must first make a niyat that I want to change. After that he will sometimes slip, sometimes fall, sometimes err, sometimes make a mistake. All those things are accepted. He will keep on making tawbah, he will keep on making istighfar. If it's the rights of people, he will make sure that even if it means humiliation and suffering that he will have to undergo, because lots of people find it humiliating to go and ask somebody for maaf and say that I have hurt you, I have injured your feelings, or I have taken a certain thing from you that did not belong to me, so give me, or I am owing you so much of money and I did not pay you, so give me some time, give me extension, or make me maaf. They find it humiliating. Or the parents, to ask them to make maaf, they find it humiliating. Whereas there is no humiliation in asking for forgiveness. There is elevation. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala becomes happy and pleased and puts respect of that person into those people's heart. But here we must also understand one thing, that if we made ghibat of somebody and that person didn't hear of it, so now don't go and tell that person, "On certain day I said this about you and I said that about you and I said that about you," because up till now you didn't hurt him, but now after telling him you're going to hurt him. So for such things you just make istighfar, tawbah, and speak some good about that person and read something and send sawab to that person. Inshallah Allah will make maaf. But if the person has already heard what you have said or he received the information, then ask that person for maaf also. And also one person once said that Marana was being paid a very poor salary. So whenever I used to go from the shop, I used to sometimes put one sock in the pocket, one handkerchief in this pocket and take and walk away, because the salary was poor. So I used to cover up like that. But after sitting in the majlises and all that, I realized that this was a wrong thing I did. Now over a period of time, this is how much I must have taken. Now what do I do? If I'm going to tell the employer that, then he will lose his trust and he may fire me. I said, well, in such a case, what you should do is make sure that that much money goes into that person's till somehow, and make tawbah istighfar, or anonymously send it to the person. That is sufficient. You don't have to reveal your name. So there are many ways, but the person has to make an effort to change. He has to make the niyyah that I want to change. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will open the doors. Allah is so merciful, so kind and so forgiving that it's unreal. These days, especially because of our weakness and because of our problems and because of the environment that we are living in, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala opens his doors very, very quickly, very, very quickly. He doesn't even delay. He straight away sometimes gives that enjoyment, that ecstasy, that happiness, that contentment and that satisfaction that the person never ever experienced in all that life of sin and vice. So that this person may be encouraged to keep on going ahead and progressing. So there is no need to despair of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's mercy. But what he is saying is this, that take the name of Allah and move forward. That means bring Allah Ta'ala's ahkam into your lives and then move forward. Otherwise, just taking His name, lip service, praises, you will get some sawab. But it is not going to bring about a change in our lives. So when we are going to make individual change, or when we are going to make an effort upon ourselves and bring about a change in our individual lives, straight away that individual who is bringing about a change will start experiencing that barakat and that rahmat that Allah Ta'ala has promised. And that individual will experience that noor that we are talking about. And that individual will experience that contentment and that satisfaction and that tafweez, everything this person will experience. He will begin to experience a kind of joy and happiness that the kings of the world do not know about. The Ahlullah are not telling us fairy tales. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when He becomes ours, then after that, what else do we need? A little bit of test and trial, Allah Ta'ala Himself gives the tawfiq of sabr also on that test. So this is what He says, that badho naam khuda lekar ye chhodo ya saki baate, they don't despair. Zara himmat karo to phir wohi din hai wohi raate. That if you make a little bit of himmat, then again you will have those same days and nights that the Sahaba-i-Kiram Ridwanullah alayhim ajmain enjoyed. You will get the same days and nights that the Ahlullah enjoy. Your day and your night will be one of peace, satisfaction. There will be tranquility, serenity, happiness within the heart. That you will have such enjoyment that I have submitted myself to Allah Ta'ala's will and desire. Now if anything happens, it is His will. And if it is His will, then I must be happy and satisfied with it. So this person, he will make an effort. He will make use of the means that Allah Ta'ala has created to get out of that problem and the difficulties. And when he's making use of those means also, he will believe that because it is Allah's hukam to make use of those means, therefore I'm making use of that means. If Allah Ta'ala had not made hukam, or if Allah Ta'ala had not put shifa in medication, then I would not have taken medication. But Allah Ta'ala Himself has put shifa in medication, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us to take medication, therefore I am taking it. So now if he takes it and gets shifa, then he will say Alhamdulillah. And if he does not get shifa, then too he will say Alhamdulillah, because he followed Allah Ta'ala's hukam. He didn't disobey. If the person has got a financial problem, then he will try to get out of that financial problem by looking for a halal employment and job. And if in any other halal way, he will try and get out of it. If he doesn't get out of it, then he will say, well, that's Allah Ta'ala's will. I tried my best. So he will be making shukr of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala if it is solved. And if it is not solved, he will be making sabr. And this is something that I have repeated many times in my majlises, that there are only two routes that take a person to Allah. Of course, there are many other factors, but if you look at it, the essence of the whole thing is that there are just two roads. One is the road of sabr, and the other is the road of shukr. That sometimes Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives plentiful of ni'mats. He gives good sight, good hearing, good speech, He gives good health. He gives plenty of wealth, He gives a good home, He gives a good car, He gives everything. And then He tests this person for his shukr. Does he pay his zakat on what he has been given? Does he give sadaqat from what he has been given? Does he use the wealth in the correct places? Does he use those eyes in the correct places? Does he use the ears and the tongue in the correct places? Does he use his health and energy in the correct places? So he is tested for shukr. When this person makes plenty of shukr and uses those ni'mats, then he reaches Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And sometimes Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala puts him into difficulty, some sickness, some poverty, some pain, some hardship, some problem, and then tests him. He makes an effort to come out of it, he makes use of the means that Allah Ta'ala has created, but if he does not succeed, then he makes sabr over it. And by means of this sabr, he reaches Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Again, it reminds me of Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. جس حال میں بھی وہ رکھتے ہیں اس حال کو اکمل دیکھا ہے جس راہ سے وہ لے جاتے ہیں اس راہ کو اسحل دیکھا ہے جس راہ سے وہ لے جاتے ہیں اس راہ کو اسہل دیکھا ہے، جس حال میں بھی وہ رکھتے ہیں اس حال کو اکمل دیکھا ہے. اسے وچ ایور روٹ میں اللہ تعالیٰ ٹیکس می تھرو، آئی فاؤنڈ دیٹ روٹ ٹو بی دا بیسٹ روٹ. وچ روٹ کین بی بیٹر دین دا روٹ وچ اللہ تعالیٰ ہمسیلف ہیز ڈیسائڈیڈ فار اس؟ آر وی مالک اور از اللہ اور مالک؟ اف اللہ از اور مالک، اف ہی از اور ماسٹر، اف ہی از اور کریئٹر، and if our life is given by him and we are his slaves, then we have got no right to dictate to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that you must decide this for me and decide that for me. Yes, we can pray and we can ask Allah for all the best, but after that the decision is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's. So if he has decided that I want to take a certain person through the route of sabr, then Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib rahmatullah alayhi say, I found that to be the easiest route. That means even in those difficulties I found that it is the easiest route, because you have submitted yourself to Allah Ta'ala's will and desire. Hazrat Bahlul, they used to call him Majnoon, but he was Dana, he was very intelligent. So somebody asked him, kya hal hai? How are you? He said, what must you ask about a person that everything in the world is happening in accordance with his will? So he said, everything happening in accordance with his will, what you claiming to be Allah? That is kufr then. So he said, no, first find out what I mean by that. So he said, whatever is happening in this world is happening with Allah's will and desire. And I have resigned myself, I have submitted myself to Allah Ta'ala's will and desire. So now whatever Allah Ta'ala wills, I will. So everything is happening in accordance with my will. So now can that person be really filled with anxiety and worries and excitement? Nothing. Because he has resigned himself to Allah Ta'ala's will. So make use of the means that Allah Ta'ala has created. Not using the means that Allah Ta'ala has created and then complaining of Allah Ta'ala, then that is kufr. Must make means, use of the means. After that, accept whatever Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has decided. And those incidents that we get in the books, that is the hal of certain awliya. That they didn't make use of the means and they trusted in Allah Ta'ala and Allah Ta'ala fulfilled the needs. That is a hal. Hal is not for everybody. For us is Sharia. Hal is a condition that the person reaches after a certain amount of spiritual exercises and making so much of tawakkul. Then that person reaches a certain hal. We haven't reached that hal. We are on the earth. So we must behave like those who are on earth. And don't try to behave like those who are on arsh. So those are hal. We must follow the Sharia. Make use of the mean, tie the camel and trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So the route of sabr, sometime Allah Ta'ala takes through that route and sometime He takes to the route of shukr. These are the two. Now if we accept that, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give us inside happiness, contentment. The person will not experience what we are experiencing at present. Because we want everything to happen in accordance with our will, but we make no effort to change our own lives. We want everybody else to change, but we don't want to apply those same rules in our 6 foot body, 6 feet body. We want it to come in the whole world, but not in our 6 feet body. Whereas we will be questioned about ourselves, that how much came into you. Yes, make an effort, and whoever benefits, alhamdulillah, but how much came into us, that is what we should be x-raying our hearts and seeing every day. That I had so much of greed before, how much has it lessened? I had so much of pride before, how much has it lessened? Before I used to think so much of all the evil things, now has it lessened? My greed, my pride, my lust, my evil desires and passions, and my pride, my anger. Before I used to get angry over every little thing. Now have I lessened that anger? Have I made a change? If there is some change, alhamdulillah, and make an effort to make more change. But if no change has come, then we must blame ourselves. Then we must blame ourselves and cry, shed tears, that, oh Allah, why is it that I am so hard-hearted? Why is it that so many others have changed their lives? Why is it that so many people have reached you? So many people have gained your closeness. They have gained the closeness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, why is it that I am still a slave of nafs and shaitan? So when we are going to shed tears over our sins, one buzruk says that we tear over everything. One major sin that we are committing these days is that we forgot to tear over our sins. Allah. He says we tear over everything else, but something that we don't tear over anymore is our sins. So therefore, if we are going to tell Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if we are going to talk to Him, if we are going to make Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala come ours and we are going to become His, then you see how Allah Ta'ala will change our lives. He will give us very, very quickly that peace and that inner satisfaction that kings also don't have. So he said, just take up a little bit of courage. Then you will have again those same nights and those same days. The days of respect, the days of honor, the days of dignity, the days that the Muslims enjoyed respect throughout the world. He said, you will get that same respect. Otherwise, today, nobody respects the Muslim Ummah. There is no dignity left. There is no awe in anybody's heart. No country fears any Muslim country anymore. Nothing. Can be Saudi Arabia, or can be Jordan, or can be Iraq, or can be Iran. Nobody really fears anybody. In fact, the fear of everyone is in the hearts of all the rulers of these countries. Because of our weakness, weakness of our iman, weakness of our faith. But there is no such thing as despair. But as I say, that we will not be able to change those countries, we will not be able to change those rulers, we will not be able to change all the people in those areas, but we can change ourselves. Just check how much do we have. Many times we read in the newspaper, or sometimes we may read, that an Arab went to England and there he gave $1 million as a gift to some prostitute, or in some gambling den he spent $1 million, or in some other haram he spent $1 million. So now we will make tafsira over it. We will make it a talking point. But if we have to look at our people, if we have to look at ourselves, that when Allah Ta'ala gives plentiful of wealth, then where do we go with all that wealth? In our country, is there any lack of that? So what I am emphasizing is this, that we have to start from ourselves. There is no other way out but to start with ourselves. The family, the home environment, if we start changing, then the society will change automatically. And when the society changes, then the nation changes. But it has to start from the individual level. At present, we have forgotten the individual and we are only looking at nations all the time. That is the reason that we ourselves are not gaining anything except just talk. Tumhara har amal jab laiqe khairul umam hoga. Tumhara har amal jab laiqe khairul umam hoga. Tumhare qalb ka jab ye sanam khana haram hoga. Tumhare haath mein jab deen khalis ka alam hoga. Jab ye parcham ke niche phir arab hoga ajam hoga. Musalmano utho bahre amal tayyar ho jao. Nahi ye waqt ghaflat ka bas ab bedar ho jao. So when all your actions will be like the actions of khairul umam, the best of the ummats. The Quran Sharif declares that we are the best of the ummat. Kuntum khaira ummatin ukhrijat lin nas. Don't know how many times we heard that ayat. Best of nations, evolved for the benefit of mankind. But he says, when all your amals and all your actions will be like that of khairul umam, not just talk, when the actions will be like that of khairul umam, the best of ummats, what kind of actions must they have? Fraud, cheating, gambling, zina, filthy movies, porn literature in the homes, American films and English films, and watching all kinds of nets. Is that the action of khairul umam? When these are going to be the characteristics of khairul umam, how sad a day it is in our lives that today people say, we cannot trust our own brother. I cannot trust my own father. A person says, I cannot trust my own father. Not one, how many people have said things like that? People say, I cannot trust my own mother. Now when you can't trust your own father and can't trust your own mother, then is that the action of Khairul Umam? How many people have said that my brother took me for a ride, my uncle took me for a ride, my best friend deceived me. I think I mentioned in some majlis also that there was a person, he went to go and look at one property. It was a beautiful property and the business also was booming in that area, and he decided to buy that place. So he consulted one of his friends, very close friends, confidant, whom he trusted so much, took his mashwara. So the friend went with him, had a look at the place, and then told him, don't go anywhere near it. This place is not worth touching with even a rod. It's not a suitable place, and very soon the business is going to go down in this area, and this property value is going to go down, and all kinds of things. And then he tells me, he says, Maulana, after a week or two, that same friend of mine went behind my back and he closed the deal on that property. Now, are these actions of Khairul Umam? Fraudulent dealings, cheating, gambling, adultery and fornication has become like the scourge of our society. Go to any masjid and tell the people to put hands on the chest and take qasam and say that we are not involved. How many are not involved in adultery or fornication? And if not, at least fornication of the eyes. Hardly we will have any person that can raise his hands and say that I am not committing zina of the eyes. In the streets, here, there, in the airports and all the places that we walk, the first sight accidentally is maaf, and after that the intentional sight is haram, totally haram. How many of us can take qasam and say that yes, at that time we suppress our nafs and we lower our gaze? Those people who are watching the television all the time and they are hooked on all those movies and those soaps, then do they lower their gazes there? And yet Rasul-e-Pak said that, guarantee me six things. I don't know how many times I have spoken on this hadith. Guarantee me six things and I guarantee Allah Ta'ala will give you Jannat. Usduqu iza haddastum, when you speak the truth. Wa awfu iza wa'attum, and when you make a promise, then fulfill that promise. Wa addu iza utumintum, and when you are entrusted, then do not betray the trust. Wa ghuddu absarakum, and lower your gazes. Wa ahfazu furujakum, and do not engage in zina. Protect and safeguard your private parts from zina. وَكُفُّوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ, and withhold your hands. That means don't cause any injustice to anybody. When you guarantee me these six things, then I guarantee Allah Ta'ala will give you Jannat. Now how many of us can guarantee that we have got these things in our lives? So where can we look down upon anybody? We have got so much to do ourselves. So this is sometimes a shaitani ploy, that he gives us the impression that I'm doing a lot of work for the sake of Allah and for the sake of deen, and I'm trying to change and reform the societies all over the world. But the person forgets that how far am I myself from deen. And that will not change until we get the sohbat of the Ahlullah. That is something that is the experience of thousands of people, that after reading everything in the kitab and after listening to it many times from many speakers, but still the desire to change or the real change did not come until the sohbat and the company of the Ahlullah, of the walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or their khuddam. Until we don't sit in their company, until then that fire of the muhabbat of Allah ta'ala does not light up in our heart. And until then the hatred of sins does not settle in our hearts. Jis qalb ki aaho ne dil phoonk diye laakho, jis qalb ki aaho ne dil phoonk diye laakho, us qalb mein ya Allah kya aag bari hogi. Those Ahlullah, if they were able to light up so many hearts with their ah, then in those hearts how much of fire of muhabbat of Allah must be burning. What kind of heart they must be having if those hearts have been able to light up so many other fires of the love of Allah. Then those hearts themselves, how much of fire they must be having. So the individual change, which is very, very important, we are neglecting. I can tell you many things. Read this, you'll get so much sawab. Read Ishraq, you'll get sawab. Read Tahajjud, you'll get sawab. Read this tasbih 100 times, you'll get this sawab. Read that tasbih 100 times, you'll get this sawab. Alhamdulillah, we'll get the sawab. And those kind of bayans and those kind of speeches, we make alhamdulillah, beautiful, mashallah. And we learn something and we will go and read. But when it comes to suppression of that nafs and the giving up of sins and the giving up of haram, then as my shaykh says, us waqt nani yaad aa jati hai. So ye to bahut mushkil kaam hai. That is a very difficult thing. Tell us everything else we will do, lekin guna chhodna ye bahut mushkil kaam hai. But brothers, without guna chhodna, if we are not going to give up sins, then everything else, you will get some sawab, but you will, can never ever become the walis of Allah Ta'ala. Because Allah Ta'ala has made it conditional. In awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon. Friends of Allah Ta'ala, only those who have got taqwa. And taqwa is not the name of how much tahajjud you make, or how much of ishraq and chasht you make, or how much of zikr you make. Taqwa is the restraining of oneself from everything that is haram. So we have to take the courage to start off somewhere. How many times we have heard these things, but yet when we go home or we get outside the masjid, we forget completely that this is what we heard a little while ago. We stand at the rosa of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there we say, As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We read salat and salam there, and we come out from there and we start gazing lustful glances at all those women and indulge in so many other sins, so much of ghibat in the haram itself, so much of gossiping in the haram sharif itself, sometimes fights and arguments in the haram sharif itself. So Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says that when your actions are going to be those of khairul umam, not just the words, when the actions are going to be those of khairul umam, tumhara har amal jab laiqe khairul umam hoga, tumhare qalb ka jab ye sanam khane haram hoga. That when you are going to clear the heart of all the idols that have come inside that heart. At present we have got so many idols in our heart. In the time of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, or in the time of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, before the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama, 360 idols were inside the Haram Sharif, inside the Kaaba Sharif. Small, small ones, big ones, all kinds. And then it was all cleared out. So this heart of ours is giving an example. It is like that Kaaba Sharif. That just as those sanams were all taken out from there, and it was cleared out, in the same way, first we will have to clear out all those sanams and idols from our hearts. The worship of wealth, the worship of property, the worship of gold and silver, the worship of sleep, even that is a worship. If the person wants to enjoy his sleep and not get up for Fajr and come to the masjid, then he has made that sleep his God, he has made that sleep his idol. We don't even think of it in that light. We will make zikr whole night, we will do lots of other deen work, but when it comes to Fajr Salat, then we say we can't get up. Sleep is very dear to us. So the person to whom sleep is so dear that he forgoes the Fajr Salat purposely, does not make any effort to get up, then it means that he has made that sleep also his God. The person who listens to the family and he follows the culture of the family and engages in haram because it is going to offend them if he does not participate, then it means that he has made his family the God. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَىٰ. All these are idols. When we are going to throw these idols out from our heart and get a purification of our heart, then only we will see what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala then does. The karamats we will see after that. What strange experiences, and what ecstasy, and what happiness. Why don't we try it out? Even as a diet, try it out. Sometimes I tell the people that we do so many things in the, that we can't really remove, but that is how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will, so we accept that so many things it happens. I mean, so many foods are dear to us, but if I'm suffering from sugar diabetes and the doctor has said that this, that, that you must not eat, then if I'm sincerely interested in a cure, if the patient is not like myself who does not take the medication as prescribed by the doctor, if the patient is sincerely interested in his cure, then that person, he will say, whatever happens, I'm not going to eat these foods. The ladies are stronger than us in this. Let them just go to a wayless institution and come back. And whatever is prescribed by the wayless institution is like wahi from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. All the other haram they will engage in, but that they will never touch, because it has been prescribed. It has come from Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And if they violate that hukam, then they are sinful. So we should take a lesson from them, that in haram also, try it as a diet. That stay away from haram for some days in the form of a diet, even if it is difficult. But if we can give up so many other things in the form of diet prescribed by the doctors, then just say that as a diet, I'm staying away from haram. I will make every effort to stay away from everything that is haram. And then just see within a few days what kind of sukoon you will get in your heart. Whether this is something that I don't have, but I'm trying, we make dua, Allah give it to me too. But we have seen the Ahlullah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives them such sukoon inside and such ecstasy and such the closeness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. How can we describe it in words? Allah ta'ala la misla lahu wa la misala lah. So how can there be an explanation for that? It's something that you have to experience. If you tell a person that sugar is sweet, then you can write a whole volume on the sweetness of sugar and you can do your PhD. But if that person does not taste the sugar, he does not know what is the sweetness. So as a diet, stay away from haram for a few days, few months, and do those little things that are not difficult at all. Namaz, a little bit of zikr, some tilawat, stay in good company, then be cheerful, happy, talk to the family, talk to the children, control and restrain your anger and try and follow the Sharia, and inshallah within a few days you will find that you are reaching that water that you were digging for, you are reaching that. And then soon those boulders will be out, all the dust and dirt will be out, and the water will gush forth, and we do not know how many millions after that will benefit from that water. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless me, bless you, and bless the entire ummah with such muhabbat and love of his, and muhabbat and love of his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we do everything to please him and we stay away from everything that displeases him. Because once we do that, then we got Allah's kingdoms with us. Then not one kingdom, we got all his kingdoms with us. Agar ek tu nahi mera to koi shay nahi meri, jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zameen meri. Inshallah on Tuesday night after Isha, we will be at the Railway Street Masjid in Tongat. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma rabbana zulamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Ay Allah, humare gunahon ko maaf farma, humari khataon ko maaf farma. Ay Allah, hum deen se bahut dur ho chuke, tu humari maghfirat farma. Oh Allah, forgive us, forgive our parents, forgive our wives and children, forgive our brothers and sisters, forgive our family members, forgive the entire ummah of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, our lives which have melted away, we cannot bring them back. Oh Allah, but whatever life is left, give us the tawfiq to do that which is pleasing to you, and keep us away from everything that is displeasing to you. Ya Allah, hamare zahir ko aur batin ko durus farma. اے اللہ ہمارے صغیرہ کبیرہ عمدن خطاً ظاہری باطنی ہر گناہ کو معاف فرما. اے اللہ ہمارے قلوب کو پاک اور صاف فرما. ہم سب کو تیری محبت کاملہ نصیب فرما, تقوی نصیب فرما, شکر اور صبر کی توفیق عطا فرما. زہد اور قناعت سے ہمارے دلوں کو بھر دے, ہمارے دلوں کو ہر قسم کے کفر سے, نفاق سے, بغض سے, حسد سے اور ہر قسم کے گناہ سے پاک فرما. ہمارے موت کا وقت آئے تو خاتمہ ایمان کے اوپر فرما. ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.